Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio, and I'm John Ramos, filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Good day.
Hello, 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 fellas. How are we doing?
Doing good. Trying to stay dry.
Say that again?
Trying to stay dry. It's a little damp.
Trying to stay dry. Well, it is Monday. We want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners today. We want to thank you for joining us and being part of the conversation. We do want to give a shout out to all of those who are texting us. And thank you. But we also want to welcome our new VFN Radio listeners. Oh, my goodness. Naya and Delise and Tori and Ray and James and Ismael and Jason and Ron and Joanne and Lewis and Linda and T-Paul. I tell you, it is absolutely awesome that you're joining with us and we're joining with you on sharing this encouraging word. What a season that we're living in, huh? Mm. What a time in a season.
Awesome.
But I wanted to ask you guys, how was the weekend? How was the weekend?
I'll tell you what, man. if you've been going through a drought, you need some rain, I got a pointer for you.
Really?
Plan a barbecue. Plan a barbecue. Guaranteed the rain's coming.
Guaranteed, huh?
Guaranteed.
That's right.
We've been planning this for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. Plan a barbecue, pouring rain. So I had to get real industrious.
Oh, please tell us.
I had to get my beach umbrella.
Oh.
Out of the closet. And pop that puppy open over my grill. So I wouldn't get soaked while I'm grilling chicken.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. But you know what? It worked really well.
Yep.
I did not get wet. The chicken wasn't ruined.
Nope.
Turned out pretty good.
Yep.
Well, sure. Chris, was the chicken good?
The chicken was good.
Yeah.
Was it grilled right?
It was grilled right.
Yeah, I got some good pointers. I don't know what you guys do over there in Texas and up in Jersey. We got it going on down here in Florida.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Barbara, y'all don't know about no. Y'all don't know about no barbecue.
See, you're stirring something up now. So we've got Eddie going with the sticky ribs.
I'm sure they're
listening this morning. He's listening.
Eddie, listen up, man. Listen up.
He's gonna get you to sticky ribs now. I mean, he says they're finger looking good now.
Yeah, rain and all, man.
Well, did you happen to see Chris's new addition to the family? I mean, we did talk about this Friday. We were a little bit shocked.
Yes.
Amazed that
the family just continues to grow. I don't know how it happens.
and yet, again, we are going to try the having another pet in the home. Did we get a chance? No. We've had tigers, lions, and bears, a lion.
Oh, my.
No doubt.
I think we did it right this time, though.
I gotta admit.
What? Did you see the? Did you see
he,
the dog?
He
did
brought. He brought the dog.
He brought.
We
the
had
dog.
Chicken, and we had pug. But I gotta tell you, man, that was the cutest little dog, man. I'll have to send you a picture. Post it on Torch, man. It was adorable.
Yeah.
Really.
Oh my God, it's probably about this big, about the size of a rat.
6 inches, huh?
But it was adorable.
Yeah.
He laid on my belly and just slept. Forever.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, those are the best. I'll tell you. I mean, we all have dogs. We just love these animals.
Yeah, I can't put mine on my chest though.
No.
Well, my 80-pound Doberman tries to get on my chest. I'm just like,
oh, I know. That's right.
Can you get your chin off of me yet again?
It's like, yeah, right off my head.
Yeah, we should have named him Shadow because I mean, everywhere you walk, he wants to be right there, part of the family. It's amazing, but. Mm-hmm. You just bond with them, you know. If you have an elderly person or someone that's at home, I tell you, there's really a great thing to consider is getting them a pet, get them a dog. I mean, they're great companions. They will, if you treat them right, they will love their master.
Oh, man.
And it's just therapeutic. love mm-hmm. walking the dog. It's very, very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Later in my dad's life, it was he got a dog and really, truly helped. He was single and really helped him out. He was recovering from illnesses. Mm-hmm. And it truly helped him out.
Oh, wow.
We did see an amazing video. Wish we'd had that available for you today. Maybe we can make it available this week. So we saw a video this Sunday of an autistic boy was mm-hmm. interacting with. Was that a lab?
It was a lab. Yeah. It's a yellow lab. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful lab, and the lab is just trying to reach out to the autistic little boy. I mean, he couldn't have been more than 2 years old.
Yeah.
And they're laying the autistic boy is sitting on the ground, and mm-hmm. the dog is laying right before him, mm-hmm. and the dog is trying to put a paw on his leg on his body.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
The little boy's like,
kept pushing it away. You're touching me. Get off of me.
You are kind of big here for that. And the dog would inch. He's a big dog now. He would inch a little forward.
He's probably 80 pounds. That was a big dog.
That was a big dog.
But he was so gentle, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very loving.
So gentle.
Very loving. And then after a few more tries, the boy's like, okay, I can't push you away anymore. He just starts like to hug on the dog, put berries his head on top of him.
Yeah.
It was so cute, you know, so adorable. It's just like people, you know, just keep loving on people no matter if they keep kind of pushing you away. You know, when the first time I hugged Chris, he kind of froze.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Really?
Like a boy says,
you put your paw on his shoulder, you know. He was.
Is this human interaction? What is going on? Someone touching me?
It was quite strange.
But I didn't give up. I just
no, you did.
This. And you know, we have a tradition every year that I go visit. Some of our ministers get together and get into. I get a chance to go out there and hug on Chris again and commemorate that hug.
Yep.
With a picture every year. We commemorate that hug. And so no matter if they keep pushing you away, you know, keep loving them. Keep hugging on them because you know, there's hope. Look at Chris. I mean, his heart melted. He'll hug you back.
You broke through, man. Yeah. You know what his new nickname is, right?
What's his new nickname?
It's Sensitive Chris.
Oh, it's not Sensitive Chris. It's not Sensitive. No.
Compassionate Chris. I'm sorry. Compassionate.
Get it right, man.
I'm sorry. Get it the thesaurus. Compassionate.
Right. Compassionate Chris. That's right. He's very compassionate. If you need mercy, call Chris.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris. Look.
What was that? You're breaking up.
My weekend.
Tell us. How was your weekend?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you. I want to tell you.
All right.
You know, we talk about technology. Technology is everywhere, right? You got a 24-hour news cycle. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm away from the electronics, away from the news. Away from the internet, I am out with my family. I'm out in Staten Island celebrating a birthday party for my niece, turned 18 years old, and just a really special time with friends and families at this special, I guess, a hall, a place that they got there. And so, I mean, I'm out there having a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving the human interaction. I decide I'm gonna go to a restroom and I'm gonna wash my hands, mm-hmm. you know, and I look up to the mirror. In the bathroom. I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
A television screen embedded.
In the wall?
Embedded now. In the glass. I'm like, someone's looking back at me in the mirror. Washing my hands, not even paying attention. And I look up, and there's this TV screen inside the inside the mirror. I mean, it's not attached. It's not additional. Mm-hmm. It's like it was cut out of the mirror in the mirror. It's this new crazy technology. I'm thinking, listen, I do not want to watch the news in the bathroom. I do not want to watch it. Turn it off. Turn it off. It's crazy. And in this place, right, you have all these people sitting in chair. It was supposed to be like 8 television screens on the walls. I'm like, turn the TVs off. You know, you got to connect. I want to encourage you. There's a time and a place for everything. You know, get to a place when it comes to media and information where you can have a place of solitude, a place of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Even have a time period in your household. Maybe you have young kids and maybe they're watching TV and all kinds of stuff. Have a no TV zone, a no media zone where the home can be quiet, where the children are doing other things like reading and engaged and other things. Because you know what? You need that quiet. You need that time. You don't need that constant information blaring in the home. Just voice. Mm-hmm. You know? And it'll do you wonders. It'll do you wonders. With so much television, so much just information going forward, it's very nice to have a time in your home, a time where all that can be quiet, and we get the children back into reading and mm-hmm. doing other things.
Besides, amazing what happens when you turn the TV off. Mm-hmm. Well, people start reading. They start talking to each other. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, hi, who are you? Do I know you? You look familiar.
Yeah, right.
Have right. some interaction, you know.
Right,
put
right.
the, you know, put a thing down. No texting during meals. No, bring no electronics to the dinner table. It's just some wisdom now. No yeah. electronics to the tables. Like, why do you need your iPad at the dinner table? I mean, why do you need your phone? Let's put all that stuff away and begin to interact and talk and really find out and care about each other. And nothing more these days says you care about me than when you start putting your phone in your pocket and refuse to bring it out during our conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But nothing more says that you don't care about me that much if you start picking up stuff and you're not listening to what I got to say. You know, so no TV zone. I was shocked that in the bathroom, they had a TV embedded in the mirror.
Amazing.
Crazy.
Insight.
Well, you know, it's time for God's News Behind the News, and we do want to talk about and share with you this morning something very, very important that's happening, and it's going to require really us to pray. Some time ago, we shared on VFN Radio, and it's on the torch, about an American pastor who is Iranian from descent. He's imprisoned in Iran. Now that, we did talk about Youssef before, but mm-hmm. Youssef has since been released. This is a new pastor who is in prison in Iran because he is a Christian. And for the first time, Pastor Saeed sent out a letter. He got a letter out of the prison, and he's actually admitted to his family. I mean, if you're in prison, you know, you're trying not to share probably so much to your family and to your friends all the stuff that's happening, because you certainly don't want them to worry. It's bad enough that mm-hmm. they're missing you.
Right.
But you certainly want to, you know, not have anyone fearful or worried for you. But at this point, you could only imagine what he had been experiencing up to this point, that now he actually writes a letter to his family talking about the torture that he is actually under. This man is being tortured, an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
American citizen.
Wow.
He's talking about horrific pressures, violence, and psychological warfare that he's under right now. He says that conditions in the prison are torturous. He finds it very difficult. With his eyes, they get blurry. His body does not have enough strength to walk. Mm. And his steps become very weak and shaky. And so he says they're only waiting. This is a direct quote from Pastor Saeed, who's in prison right now in Iran because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one thing. They're only waiting for me to do one thing, and that is to deny Christ.
Mm.
But they will never get this from me.
Mm.
They will never get this from me.
Wow.
And this is what he's facing. His wife is you know, concerned. And right now, last week, the American Center for Law and Justice filed a petition with the UN Human Rights Council for his release. And of course, several members of Congress have urged the Secretary of State, which is now John Kerry, you know, to move quickly. You know, we have a U.S. citizen who is being, you know, beaten and abused, and we need to get him out of there. But I think about Pastor Saeed and his determination and his commitment and his love of God, you know, that no matter what, I mean, think about that. That's what's so precious about our relationship with the Lord. That is what's so beautiful, that, you know what, no matter what happens to a person, you notice this over and over again. If they're a believer and you hear this, and this happened with Pastor Youssef. I mean, he's stayed in prison 3 years, and they would have allowed him to walk out the door sooner, but you just cannot deny the one who saved you.
That's
who touched you and changed your life. And we want to pray for Pastor Saeed. We want to encourage you. There's a petition that we're going to make available for you on the torch. And we want to continue to pray that God will set him free, that he'll be able to endure, the torture that he's going through, and that Jesus is going to be glorified. I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote, a great portion of the Bible in prison.
Right.
Paul considered it, hey, this is an opportunity for me to preach to the guards, and so let's believe that what the enemy meant for evil, that God's going to turn for good, and that where Saeed is there, that's going to have a tremendous impact, that he's going to be able to preach the gospel and share the gospel with signs and wonders while he's there in prison, and that God will give him supernatural grace to lead many, many, many of the people that he is either in prison with, mm-hmm. or the guards and those officials will come to the Lord. But we just pray that this all comes out to the Father's glory. We'll be right back. If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, mm-hmm. and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. Right. Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. And you're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God. I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
Do you, you know our next step, Alpax? You know, we just want to share it. We're talking about something. Pat and I were talking about something. Man, we got to share this.
This
is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It is so funny. It's like, you know, the next step, Alpax, is a time where, you know, it's themed to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, you know, about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And we, you know, 10 years, you know, we carried this prophecy, and it still continues today, but now it's relational versus that the progressive, intense prophecy that's been was delivered for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about that at Next Step Outback, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But, and you can see some videos about it. But in that, you know, we do some different things to be able to build relationships. What are you looking at?
I think this is going somewhere.
I don't know. Let me look away. I can't look at Dante. He's gonna make me mess up. Okay. you know, we do different things. You know, we do. You know, the fathers and the sons would you know, draw you know, banners and do things to build relationships. We would teach them the Ten Commandments, and we would, you know, different things to build relationships. And one part of them is like the corporate challenges that, you know, you send. You know, your employees on to build relationships. Well, we did the same thing with fathers, with parents and their children. And some of them are, you know, just different kind of games that are challenging and cause you to think and have to work together, that type of thing. One of the things we did is called a trust fall. Well, how did you know? And so, now a trust fall is like a trust fall is like you stand up on a, we got to put this video, they can see this video on the torch. Yeah. Did you know we had a video of that?
No, I didn't. Pat?
What? And so, no, I'm just joking around.
Not.
Find it. No, I'm joking. And so it's standing 4 foot, you're 4 foot in the air. And 4 foot doesn't seem that high. But you understand, this is John. It's 4 foot up. That's like twice. And I'm like, No, seriously. I mean, 4 foot up, and your back, you're on the edge of this platform, and your back is facing the edge. And so you're going to fall off the platform backwards. But you're going to actually teach the people that are on the ground a way to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have people on both sides kind of like form a tunnel, and they'd stick their arms out, and you would fall backwards without looking into their arms. It's called a trust fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing how many parents, by the way, would tell their kids, you know, trust me. You just don't trust me. You just don't trust me. But when you saw parents trying to fall in their kids' arms, they didn't even trust their kids.
Nope.
And it's like, you know, that goes both ways, don't it? I mean, you're going to have to build a relationship with trust. And so, of course, you know, the leaders had to teach every time they would come to these events that nobody knew how to actually catch anybody. And so you had to teach them how to catch somebody who was trusting you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, John is an excellent teacher, right?
Right.
And so he teaches, he's teaching these parents and their children, you know, this is a trust fall. You stand up here and they're looking at him. Of course, they always look at you and go, I don't think so. And he's telling them, I'm gonna do this first. And he taught them how to catch him so he could demonstrate how good his teaching is. And so a brave man, you know, a brave man stood up there, turned his back to these people who he just taught, crossed his arms like he was laying in a casket. That's what you do. You stand straight as a board.
Right.
And then he falls backwards. And then he falls backwards, and they just stand there and watch him bounce on the ground.
He didn't catch him.
That wasn't really funny.
No. And it's reported, I'm not going to talk about Pastor Cindy who reported it, that she said, you hit the ground, jumped back up, and said, you didn't catch me.
Y'all supposed to catch me.
Oh.
Now, once they were all terrified.
Yes. Well, no, wait. I got to give you credit now. That he realized his first lesson, Lynn, didn't work. So he didn't give up on teaching people what was right. He taught them again. You taught them again. And then he went right back up to these very people that dropped him and said, of course, this time he's looking back at going. And he falls into their arms and they catch him this time.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
How many people teach people the first time and they don't get it and they just give up? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. We have to be willing to teach in a way that people get it. Mm-hmm. And to we're willing to fall into the arms of our very own teachings. And to we're willing to be entrusted by to those who actually we taught to be trustworthy. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Because if we're not willing to fall into their arms like John was and be dropped, you know, and that happens when you're building relationships. You know, you're teaching people how to trust because we got to leave the next generation. We have to teach them how to catch people.
Yeah.
And Paul said we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. See, a teacher will just kind of blow in, blow up, and blow out. They just like teaching, you know, and they're not connected in the sense of they won't fall in your arms.
Mm-hmm.
But a father understands that you're going to carry this thing on. And so he's willing. He's so maybe in a mother in the Lord, they're so invested in you that they are willing to fall into the arms of their very own teachings to you and be caught because they need to know. Are you going to be able to catch people?
Mm-hmm.
Can you catch them when they fall? Will you catch them, or will you just sit there and just look at them? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like six people just sitting there just staring at them on the ground.
Yes,
and it didn't even cross their mind. But that's today. So yes. Many people, you know, are fallen, and I just really admired you.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was Amber.
Oh, so my goodness.
Amber.
Yeah.
Shout out to Amber.
Yeah, give a shout out to Amber and Blake this morning. But yeah, I just want to encourage you. This is so important that until you're ready to fall into the arms of your very own teachings, and sometimes you get dropped. But you're teaching people so they get it, not so you get a paycheck, like we talked about in the first part of this broadcast today. You're teaching them so they get it because you care about them, that you love them. You're like Josiah. You want the people to get it and have a relationship with God. And until you're ready to fall into the arms of your own teachings, until you're willing to trust your future with the very ones that you spoke into their lives, you're not ready yet. You're just one of the 10,000 teachers. But there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. For I'm your father in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's time for the fathers and the mothers in the Lord to rise up and begin to love this next generation and teach them to the point that you're willing to fall into the arms of your own teachings. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to BFN Radio. Welcome
Come back,
back
to me. Come back to me.
Welcome back. I'll tell you, Pat was getting. I'll tell you what. This producer, he is worth his weight in gold. I tell you, he can put it
oh,
down.
Man, I'd be rich.
Yes, you
would. Man, that much gold.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us back here in the first hours, which we're coming to the second half of the first hour. We were talking about Pastor Saeed, an American-Iranian pastor who is jailed and right now being tortured in Iran prison for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And join with us in prayer that what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn for good. And that a great number of souls are going to come out of this trial and believe that he's going to be set free. Amen. But we want to talk about in this part of the hour is seven things to consider to keep the fire burning strong for winning souls, for leading people to the Lord. We have been believing. We have been sharing that here on VFN Radio that we're believing for a third grade awakening. Right. We're believing for a powerful move of God, you know, where many across the country, across the world are going to be coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
That's
right.
to a saving knowledge of making the Lord their personal Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus is coming back again. You know, the rapture of the church is going to happen. The question is, who's going to be ready? Who's going to be going? And only those that know Jesus as Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So the Lord instructs us to pray for workers for the harvest. Those who are willing to share the love of God and boldly preach the truth. Now, the truth is the full gospel, right? The mm-hmm. the kindness and the sternness of God, right? Not just the sugary stuff. Not just the good bless me stuff. God loves me, this I know, right? For the Bible tells me so, right?
That's right.
But there's more. There's more, right? Because he loves you, he will help you to love him. You know what I'm saying? He will allow situations in your life to cause you to look up to him. And with that, I want to talk about today, and I want to help us, you know, help us to stoke the fire. Help us to stoke the fire and really fulfill the Great Commission. This is the commission of the church. This is what Jesus told his disciples and what he's telling us today, that all authority in heaven has been given to him on earth. Jesus has all the authority, and he has given it to us. But he's given us authority for a purpose, and that is to make disciples. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? That's what the word says. And right. So we are to go into the harvest and win souls. We're to go into the harvest and make disciples. And so stoking and fanning the flame within us, right? Mm-hmm. One of the first things we can do is that we can keep the vision for men's souls before us. Mm. That's so important because, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, without a vision, we learn that people perish. And the first step in keeping a vision for souls before you actually have a vision. If you don't have a vision, you can't keep nothing in front of you. And vision is so important because what vision is going to do is it's going to help you. It's going to help you in your life to have direction. It's going to help you to have purpose. It's going to help you to have clarity. And if you have a written vision for souls, you can set your mind, you can set your soul, you can set your spirit in that direction every day.
Mm-hmm.
You can be thinking about somebody else, right? And what this does, it gives us a fresh perspective to everyone that we encounter now. Because now we're not just thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about eternity. We're thinking about Jesus. And we're thinking about, you know what? Heaven, eternity, hell, the reality of it.
Right.
But we have to have a vision for this. And you become more concerned and aware that the condition of a person's soul. And it will prompt you to look for ways now to share the gospel with them. You know, there's a saying that says if you don't look for something, you'll never see it. You're not going to find it. You know what I'm saying? You got to have your vision clear. You have to have your eyes and your mind engaged. It can be right in front of you, but you won't ever see it if you're actually not looking for it. So the first thing is that we got to keep like a vision for souls before us.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I want to encourage you is listen to anointed soul-winning messages. You know, there's nothing like having faith stirred up on the inside of you. And the word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that when we hear anointed messages on leading others to the Lord and the salvation of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
It stirs our hearts. It stirs our hearts. And it reminds us of God's love for mankind and his desire that they would not perish. I mean, this is God's desire, that no one would perish, but what? That they would have everlasting life. And what that does is it helps us. It really helps us to keep the reality of heaven and hell in our minds. The clear understanding that not everybody is in a better place. mean, this is so important to be talking about this in this hour, because there's such a wishy grace message going on that anything happens, anything goes. There's even a false doctrine being shared that even hell's not a real place.
Right.
Let me tell you something. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And as believers, we want to be on the cutting edge of what God has called us to do. I mean, this is Jesus' last statement to his disciples. You heard of people's famous last words? This is Jesus' last words on earth before he ascends to heaven. Okay. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations.
Right.
Go, carry it out. I've paid the price. Now tell them that they can be with me. The third thing that we can do is we can begin to set our hearts. I'm speaking to believers. I'm speaking to the church, right? We can begin to pray daily, right, for Jesus's heart for souls and ask that he would burden us for the loss, that he would give us that burden. I mean, you think about Jesus paid the ultimate price for men's souls.
That's right.
He went all the way to the cross. He was willing to endure tremendous hardship, drink the cup of suffering, be brutally beaten to pay the price for what you, me, and the rest of the world without God, for our sins. And Jesus, if anyone has a heart for so, it's God. It's Jesus. So we need to ask and pray, God, give us your heart. Give us your heart. How do you feel? Empower us in this great hour. Reveal your emotions to us for people. And he'll begin to reveal that for us. And we can begin to love and take care of people the way, you know, God would just burden us with that. You know what I mean? Listen, when we pass away, when folks pass away, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You know what I'm saying? You can't take any of this stuff with you. Jesus himself came for people, taught for people, died for people. And the only thing that we can take with us to heaven is people.
Mm-hmm.
What are we spending our life, right? Talk about giving purpose and meaning for life. For a believer, the fourth thing we can do is ask the Lord for compassion for the souls of men. You know, Jesus ministered out of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
He ministered out of this overwhelming compassion for people. And compassion has two parts. The first part is that you actually feel bad about the situation. And the second part is you actually do something about it. Compassion begins to soften our hearts and helps us to look past the outer parts of people. Helps us to look past the roughness, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it helps us to look into their inner pain. You know, I always like to say that, you know, everybody has a story. Everybody. They may not be able to tell it in a great way. They may not be able to share with you in a compelling way. But let me tell you something. Everybody has a story, and they just didn't end up where they're at by accident. But oftentimes when we don't take the time to pause, we don't have the compassion of God in our lives, we don't have the heart of God, the burden of God in our lives for other people, we don't look into that. We look at the outer exterior and we say, what's your problem?
Yeah.
Right? What's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
But if we prayed, if we asked the Lord, reveal to us, God, reveal to us the pains and the tragedies that folks are going through, because they don't know you. Help us to move with compassion so that we can be your hands. We can be your eyes. We can love people, right? And be your arms. You know, be channels of love for the Lord to minister and touch people. But the great tragedy and one of the greatest things that is affecting the church today, even when you're talking about soul winning, like what? How foreign is that? What? Leading someone to the Lord? What? Are you really talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Should I change the channel? What? And the thing is that we're looking at a church that's filled with apathy. It's apathetic,
mm-hmm.
right? It's filled with apathy. It means just a lack of interest. or concern, lack of emotion, absence of emotion or interest. You know, sometimes I find it interesting. It's like I've heard people say, well, I don't have a burden. I don't have a burden for souls. It's like, unless, of course, it's one of your family members.
Hello.
And all of a sudden, that burden comes, you know, it's like, we got to preach about the cross. We got to say, wait a minute. Where did it? So it's within us.
Right.
It's within us. But we have to break out of this apathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We must have the same compassion that we have for our family members that don't know Jesus, with the homeless person, for the beggar, right? For the prostitute, for the drug addict, for the drug dealer, for our coworkers, for our neighbors, for the people in our community, and for the people in our cities. Jesus loves them too. Reminds me of Who Does God Love? If you haven't listened to that segment on The Torch, I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and search for Who Does God Love? Let me tell you, God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to come into a position as a believer to prejudge or judge anyone because of their sin. Their sin is between them and God. It's for us to reach out to them. And so, you know, this helps us. We can't just stay like, we can't go out into the lost by just motivating ourselves. We ourselves need to be touched by God. We need God. Said, Lord, we need a heart of compassion. We don't just want to go through the motions, right? We don't know. We don't want just to go out in the harvest field because we know that's the right thing to do. But Lord, we want you to touch us from the inside out. We want you to perform heart surgery on us and melt our heart with the things that melt yours. Help us to see with your eyes. How do you view that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The fifth thing we can do is live with eternity stamped on our forehead. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning that you are conscious. You're consciously aware that you're not living for this life, but the life to come. That we are just passing through, and our time here on earth is really a mere vapor.
Right.
And the older that I get, the more I realize, oh my goodness. You know, I am forcing time more than ever to comply with my destiny, because once it's over, it's over.
That's right.
You got to do all that you can for God in the lifetime and the span that you have to do it in. And if you live long enough, you will experience that people come and people go. They really do.
That's right.
Death is so definite. And people are here and then they're not. And what's remembered about a person's life is what they did or didn't do in that life. It's so true. And when they memorialize someone and they're just talking about someone's life, it's about what they did and about what they didn't do. And understand that what we do in this life will determine our next life and whether we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we'll be in heaven. If we don't or others don't accept the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, that when we, before we die, then we'll be in hell and with Satan. It's that plain and simple. And we just have this short window of time. I remember going to one particular funeral, and I've been to many in my life, but I went to one particular funeral of a young man in his early 20s who just got married, loved God, and had a brain aneurysm. Something happened in his brain. He just died.
Mm.
I mean, just unexpected. Father was just a man of God and just was serving the Lord. And just the whole family just, you know, loved God. And just thinking, what? You know, how? And, you know what I'm saying? You all these questions. And he just got married, just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was going into the ministry. And he died of a brain aneurysm. And yet I remember just feeling so broken at this funeral. I just remember so broken and feeling so, just so kind of like, you know, and at one side, you know, just kind of for his family and for his new baby and his wife, you know, just feeling broken about this person's loss and their friendship. And at the same token, you know, you have that mixed feeling because I knew he was with the Lord and knew, man, I want to be where he's at right now, you know. But the thing about death is that I was pulling out of the service and I was driving onto the road. It was over. You know what I mean? It was over. My mind had to be about what was I going to do next? Where was I going? What was the next thing that I had to do in my... And as much as you wanted to pause and stop life and just, you know, let's just pause a second. Someone just passed. Life continues to go. You can't stop it.
Right.
You can't stop it. And so the thing is, what are we going to do with the time that we do have? What are we going to do? The last thing I want to encourage you, we're talking about how to stoke the fire for the things that burn in the Lord's heart as other people, is to be active in the harvest. You know, it's to be active, to be on the front lines and to be sharing your testimony. You know, sometimes people think that, you know, I just have to be I'm not a fiery evangelist. And they have all these concepts of what, you know, leading someone to the Lord is all about. Or I got to preach this and I got to do that. And listen, one of the most powerful things that you could ever do, one of the most powerful things you could ever do, is share your own personal salvation testimony. Because a man with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. You can argue about a lot of stuff, but you know what? You can't argue with, I was blind, bound up, but now I see and I am free. And I want to encourage you to get your testimony down. Write it down, you know, get it on paper. Be familiar. Remind yourself. One of the greatest things you could do to stoke that fire of God inside you is to look back at what God saved you from. There's you know, sometimes we come across just folks because they have bad experiences that sometimes we try to bury our testimonies and hide them because of those things that maybe we have done it before we knew God that we were ashamed of. But let me tell you, those are trophies. Those are the things that God brought you out of. You know, that's a victory. There's a freedom in that. And when we share that with others, that gives other people hope to say, well, if God did that for you, man, God can certainly do that for me. And what the world needs today, is they need to know about Jesus. They don't need to know about religion. They don't need to know about more organizations. They don't know about 15 steps to a better them. They need to know about Jesus. They need to have an encounter with the living God, as we talked about last week on VFN Radio. And when people have an encounter with Jesus, when they meet Jesus, everything changes.
That's right.
And the only natural progression is what? To follow him.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you today, review these seven things to consider. And I want to encourage you to pray for the lost and to pray that God will send harvesters. What would happen? You know, they say that the average Christian won't lead one person to their to the Lord. You know, I need to get this statistic down for you, but it's like in their lifespan. I don't know how many years it is. It's like, what would happen? What would happen if every believer was committed? Was committed to lead it? At least one person to the Lord. One.
Yes, one.
If you went on a cruise, you tell me about your cruise.
Yeah.
If you bought a new car, you tell me about your new car. If you went on vacation or did something exciting, you tell me about it. We need to begin to share the hope that we have and sprinkle some of that salt. Right? If we don't sprinkle the salt of the earth.
That's right.
And if we don't do that, we just become bland. We're not bland because we're bland. We're bland because maybe we're just not sharing what God has done in our life. I want to encourage you. This is the finest hour to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. Let's make heaven full and hell empty together. We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right. You know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And there's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And as we come to the end of the first hour, oh my goodness, we want to just remind you, my goodness, we're talking about the same things to consider in keeping the fire burning for souls. Oh my goodness, let me tell you, we need to be a church that just loves God and loves people, right? Love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others, right? Love others like we love ourselves. I mean, this is it. This is what sums up the Ten Commandments. This is what sums up the law. And there's nothing more. There's nothing more rewarding. There's nothing more exciting than to see somebody come to God and see their life literally transformed before you. And so join in the harvest. Let's be a part of this third great awakening and seeing God move on the face of the earth. We do want to talk a little bit about what's coming up in the extra hour. My goodness, you don't want to miss the extra hour. We're going to be talking about a Second Amendment, some of the strictest laws in the states, and what are some of the most Second Amendment friendly. We're going to be talking about the demonstration of the kingdom of God, of course, the VFN Torch Top 3. You don't want to miss it.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.